Are you ministering to or hoping to help a person who's struggling with anxiety attacks? If so, listen in because this is the topic of today's podcast.
Hi, I'm Matt, the Development Coordinator for the Truth and Hope Foundation in Sofia, Bulgaria.
And I'm Cherie Frizonki, the author of the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum.
This episode of Go in Peace is brought to you by listeners, supporters, and friends of our ministry.
If you want to follow along in the discussion, purchase the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum from the links provided. It's going to make what we talk about a bit more understandable. But if you don't have it, no worries, you're still benefit by listening.
Episode 2.9. Today in our podcast, we are discussing Session 2, page 18, number 6, Anxiety.
So many times I have worked with people who have come to me because they're struggling with anxiety and or anxiety attacks. And so a lot of times as biblical counselors, we are going to have to address this issue. And the main thing is we always want to get to the root cause of something, whether it's depression, like we talked about in our previous podcast, whether it's anxiety, what is the root that is causing this? And so as a biblical counselor, that's what we need to look at. And in the curriculum, we saw that a lot of times a person might experience anxiety when they are reminded of something that triggers and reminds them of that traumatic event. And so, again, it's just coming back to the root. Like a lot of times I'll have women who they're have anxiety attacks anytime they feel they're in an unsafe place. And so why is that? What has happened? What traumatic event before happened that trigger that can cause an anxiety attack? Mm-hmm. Like for one younger woman I had, as we were going through the curriculum, I was praying and just asking the Lord, Lord, show me the root of what it was. Well, she had been date raped. And so without her being able to connect the anxiety attack to that, because maybe the anxiety attacks happened 2, 3, 4, 5 years after the event, that's why for most people, it doesn't make sense why all of a sudden this is happening. But when you're able to sit down and talk to somebody who understands more of what's going on, you can help point out to them, you know, look, you were in a terrible situation. Somebody that you trusted physically attacked you in this date rape. And now when you're in an unsafe place, something that reminds you a little bit about it, even though you think you're past it, if it's still there in your subconscious, your which I say is your innermost being, what the Bible calls it, that depth of who you are, that's what triggers the anxiety attack.
Now, are there any other things that you see that maybe aren't triggers when it comes to anxiety, but like a possible disorder that comes from that you would maybe see someone, you know, maybe they're not going to confess it at this point in the curriculum, but maybe that they would think of it. Maybe it was something that we could shoot out as an example for people to hear, like maybe an eating disorder or some kind of anxious tic or things like that. Or is that a different category of anxiety that we're talking about?
Well, eating disorders, we will talk in a future podcast because we're get to the section. It's in this same session, session 2, but it goes more when we're talking about self-destructive behaviors such as anorexia and bulimia. And so we will talk about that in the future. But usually I see anxiety is triggered by something that is in the depth of their heart. It's not necessarily disorder. What exactly is a disorder? When people say, oh, I have this disorder, what is that? In a previous podcast, I put a link to an excellent book. It's called The Christian's Guide to Psychological Terminology. And maybe I'll put a link to it in this one too, because you can look up whatever disorder that is that person has per se, according to the world's way of counseling. And then you can compare it and see how the what the word says about that disorder. It's an excellent tool to have if you have a heart to biblically counsel or biblically disciple. But usually I see that there's some type of trigger. Really, if you talk to anybody, if they are at a place that they're willing to be totally honest with you, usually you can find some kind of root that is triggering the anxiety. But they have to be willing to talk with you. Like one time I had a woman that came to me and she would have anxiety attacks when she was driving. And it usually happened when she was on the freeway. And so as I was talking to her about it, I'm like, well, what happened? Did you ever have a really bad experience when you were on the freeway? Because she said, you know, a few years prior, it never happened, you know? And I'm like, well, what happened? Something probably happened on a freeway or something that scared you. What happened? And she's like, well, I was in a terrible accident. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this terrible accident. So anyhow, it was really interesting. And one thing that we have to do as biblical disciplers is really listen to what a person is saying. Listen to every single word and even read between their lines almost. Because what she said to me was, she said, I always drive in the slow lane in case I decide to have an anxiety attack. And so I stopped her right then and I said, can you repeat to me what you just said? And she says, yeah, I always drive in the slow lane in case I have an anxiety attack. And I said, no, say it to me exactly how you did the first time. And she goes, I always drive in the slow lane in case I have an anxiety attack. And I go, that's not how you said it to me the first time. And she's like, what? And I said, say it again. I always drive in the slow lane in case I have an anxiety attack. I said, that's not how you said it the first time. And she said, how did I say it? I said, you said, I always drive in the slow lane in case I decide to have an anxiety attack.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting. One, two little words, in case I decide. I said, you didn't even catch it. I caught it. And I said, do you realize that you have control over the anxiety attacks? It's what you're choosing to focus on. So what's happening is when you're driving and you're driving along and you think everything's okay, all of a sudden you're starting to think, even maybe without realizing it, you're starting to think maybe a car just pulled in front of you like that day on the freeway that caused the accident. And you're starting to focus more on the accident than just driving down the freeway that day. And because of that, the more you focus on that traumatic event without maybe even really truly realizing it, that's where the anxiety is coming from. But if instead you choose, say that car cuts in front of you and it reminds you exactly of what happened before the accident happened, instead you start singing worship songs that you have on the radio, or you start memorizing a verse or something. Exactly. It's going to change your thinking and it's going to help you from having that anxiety attack.
That's a good tip, because I do think that, you know, there's things that not only, like, you know, women struggle with when it comes to anxiety, but also men.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that from a man's perspective, if nothing traumatic has happened to him in his life, there are still things that he's going to struggle with when it comes to anxiety. There might be a job loss. There exactly. might be a debt. You know, there might be these overwhelming kind of situations happening in his life that he's not really bringing out into his daily, but when he comes home, exactly. he really knows that those things are still there. And if we aren't leaning on God's word and, like you said, choosing what to be focusing on,
yes.
then they can get really overwhelming, and we can, you know, kind of find ourselves, even someone that hasn't had a traumatic experience in their life, falling under the impression of a panic attack.
Exactly. And that's why I love Isaiah 26:3. It says, him who keeps his mind steadfast. It says, let me find my Bible. Oh, I have it. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. And so for us to stay in perfect peace and not anxiety, right? Peace is the opposite of anxiety,
yeah.
right? So if we want to have that perfect peace, we need to keep our mind steadfast on him. But when we put it on all the problems, like you said, maybe a man, you know, maybe they're going through a financial difficulty and there's just one thing adding up on another, and now he gets hit with another bill and another bill and another bill. It's still that insecurity and that fear of, oh my goodness, how am I going to handle it? And one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other, that can cause anxiety. Mm-hmm. So when you get to the root of what's going on in that person's life, they're not choosing to stay focused on God mm-hmm. and that God has control of this. They also have to remember now, you know, if we are being unwise stewards with what God's providing,
yeah.
you know, of course yeah. we can be part of the cause of mm-hmm. the problem. Mm-hmm. However, if we then follow the Lord, He will show us how to take those finances that seem so out of control mm-hmm. and help being wise stewards with what He provided so that we can start walking and getting through that dark tunnel and coming into the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, because sometimes, like you're saying right there, exactly, is it's not just that you just pretend that it's not there and focus on the Lord, because no, there's stuff that needs to be dealt with.
Exactly.
To be able to get out of that situation. But sometimes people don't know that the Bible does have a ton of information about how to handle your finances.
Oh, yes.
And so it's really encouraging to know that we don't just have this book that tells us, you know, to mask it. Don't think about it. You know, we have a book of instruction.
And, exactly.
And there is actual concrete ways about going throughout our lives in a way that's pleasing to God when it comes to finances, when it comes to how we're dealing with our anxiety. And I think that it's really encouraging to know that we serve a God that gave us instruction, and it's not just a big mystery.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what I love about God's Word, is because all of these issues that we're talking about in the curriculum, whether it's depression, anxiety, fear, bulimia, eating disorders, these different things, they're all found in the Bible. Mm. And if they're all found in the Bible, the solution is there too. That's what I love about it so much. And like you said, just for finances. Finances can cause people to have a lot of anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. Yet there's answers in the Bible. Mm. But I also love practical teaching. And one of my favorite practical teachers on finances, for example, is Dave Ramsey. And even his book, The Total Money Makeover, you know, he gives people practical ways that actually are in line with Scripture in how to get out of debt and how to just start using your money in the way that God would want you to, because God's Word calls us to be a good steward of what He's provided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like his curriculum. I remember a couple things in his curriculum, but one of them stuck out the most was that we are a slave to our the people that we're in debt to.
Yeah.
You know, and it was something that I didn't really look at myself as like a slave, you know, until I started realizing that, oh wow, I have debt and I'm anxious because I can't pay that off.
Right.
And so, I mean, praise God, God has allowed Jessica and I to both become financially debt free because we were following the principles of Dave Ramsey. We had
right.
the means and capability to do it. We just didn't have the instruction.
Right.
And that's what was really neat, is that Dave Ramsey's using the instruction with biblical influence to help people kind of break free from that slavery
right.
of being in debt. And I think that, you know, we kind of are all, you know, well, it's obviously scriptural too. We're all a slave to something.
Right.
You know, the Bible does say we either are a slave to God or we're a slave to our own flesh, and
right.
you know, we can't serve two masters. And so it was really enlightening to know that we could break free from this.
Right.
And then it gives us this opportunity to be looking at our lives and our finances in a way to how to serve God, not to just, you know, help ourselves. Because
exactly.
when we're in debt, we have to help ourselves. And the focus is always on us when we're full of anxiety.
Right.
And then when we break free from that, then we get to look out on the horizon and see, God, what do you want me to now do with my finances?
Right. In such a practical way, he teaches, you know. Mm-hmm. And then look at, before, you might have not been having anxiety attacks over your finances, but there definitely was stress there.
Oh, yeah.
And stress is one of the leading things that eventually, if it goes on too long or it gets too big, can actually lead to that anxiety. Mm-hmm. And yet there still was a root there of not handling your finances the way that God wanted you to handle them. And then once you learned a practical way and a biblical way to do that, that stress is gone, mm-hmm. then there's this freedom.
Yeah.
And so whether it's finances, whether it's a past traumatic event, whether it's just having the wrong focus, there's always a root of where the anxiety is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so us as biblical counselors, as we're praying, one of the things I'm always doing as I'm discipling someone is I'm also always constantly praying, Lord, how can I help them? How can I give them a practical way to help with the situation or the problem that they're in right now? And a lot of times I stay silent. I'll either just be reading the curriculum, or if they're speaking, I'll be silent and be praying this. And I really don't add anything else to what they're learning in the curriculum unless I believe I hear something from the Lord. And so as a biblical counselor, how do we hear something from the Lord? Because usually God's not speaking to us in an audible voice. Mm-hmm. It's not something like that. So as a counselor, how do you know when you're being led or you feel like you're hearing from the Lord? And so whenever I'm praying, Lord, how do I help this person? How do I help this person? I usually don't say anything else unless it's a biblical verse that all of a sudden is on my heart to share with the person, or a biblical concept. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have the whole Bible memorized, you know, and sometimes we think we need to before we start discipling to people. Yeah. But we can have the concepts memorized. And the more that we read the word through our daily devotion and stuff, we know a lot of biblical concepts. And so even if I don't have the actual verse, but I have the concept, I'll share that with them. And today's so cool because we have our smartphones. We can then just Google verse about, like if I forgot where Isaiah 26 was, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. I could Google verse about perfect peace, you know, and it's going to pop up and you can immediately share it with the person.
Yeah, that is true. That is one plus to having the phone by your side, because I feel like sometimes it's always nice to have that the hard concrete Bible, but at the same time, when you know that there you have those key terms, it's a difference between looking for 30 minutes or 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's great. When I first started biblically discipling, you know, we didn't have that tool. And so I would have to tell the person, you know, I know that there's a verse. I can't find it right now in my Bible, but I will bring it back to you at our next meeting. And I'd have to go home to the big Strong's Concordance, you know, and look through and see if I could find that verse.
Maybe that's should be a requirement for us biblical counselors, is that we don't have to get to use our phones. We have to go find the real deal. And to spend more time in God's word.
It's true, and you learn so much. Yeah. You know, you really do learn with that. But we are blessed today with, you know, technology can be a blessing or it can be a curse, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, very good. Thank you so much for today's topic, and we just pray that God will richly bless you as you serve him.
This has been a Go in Peace Leaders discussion topic with Shreve Rezonke and myself, Matt Laster, based on the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum. If you would like to join a group of Go in Peace leaders for encouragement, support, and prayer from like-minded disciplers, click on the Facebook group link provided. May God richly bless you as you serve Him.